Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone as many around Saskatchewan. Last day of school. Hope you enjoy your summer in Saskatchewan. Of course, next Tuesday, free agent frenzy, as they call it in the National Hockey League. And we're joined by Luke Fox, a Sportsnet Maple Leafs insider. And we're just going to rip the Band-Aid right off. Mitch Marner. Luke, it's the big question. Where is he playing next year?
It is a huge question. Well, not just Leafland, the whole NHL, I think, is wondering where he's going to end up. The hot city right now is Vegas. The Golden Knights seem to be on every big guy that comes available in free agency or trade, basically since their existence. So it's no surprise, really, that they would have their fingers in this pot as well. But they're going to have competition. The LA Kings are interested. The Carolina Hurricanes are interested. You know, I think there's lots of rebuilding teams that would love to take a crack at Marner, like Chicago. Imagine him with Bedard, or Utah or Seattle. They need some star power. But Marner's positioned himself where he can move on from the Leafs, but also join a team that, you know, should make the playoffs and considers themselves a contender. So that's why a team like Vegas or LA, they're kind of near the top of the list. That there's also been murmurs about Dallas, but I don't know how they make that work cap-wise. They would have to trade someone away.
Is it fair what is happening to Marner? You hear people say, I'll give you one example. Oh, he's just going to go for whoever gives him the most money. Are you surprised by that?
I'm actually not convinced that's true. Am I surprised that, you know, in this day and age where there's a million podcasts and everyone has a social media account, that there's a lot of opinion out there? No, I'm not surprised at all. Or that people, you know, feel comfortable making the leap and can get it, you know, feel comfortable getting inside an athlete's head and make assumptions. I'm not surprised people do that. I don't know that necessarily he's just going for top dollar, because if all he is going for top dollar, we might be hearing teams like Chicago or San Jose or teams that are very far away from being ready to win. I think he wants a mix. He wants a nice juicy raise. I don't think the money is the be all end all. My sense is that he would prefer not to join another Canadian team, and that's not a knock on Canada. I think it's the scrutiny that came with his last stop in Canada, and I think he wants to go to a city where he's not recognized every time he walks down the street, that maybe hockey is a bit lower profile. So, you know, Vegas and LA, they both have tons of money, same with Dallas, but it's not like
you're not going to hide in Vegas.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to. Well, the people who go to Vegas, it's a mix of tourists and there's people who don't care about hockey. They have a very fervent fan base that love their Golden Knights. But you can stay still kind of low key. Like, all the players live out in Summerlin in this beautiful suburb and they have a nice life. Yeah, you're famous, but you're not. You're not scrutinized the way you are in a hockey town with more history. The Vegas Golden Knights fan is very different than a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. They are just all unconditional love. Root for the home team. They're not, you know, getting too into the weeds about, well, this guy makes this much and, the team, you know, disappointed, so we're really on them. It's just unbridled support. You know, I've covered many playoff games in that town. It's a different type of fan. And I think he wants a refreshing change of scenery, is my understanding. And he certainly wants a raise, but I don't know if it's just show me the most money and I'm signing there. I don't think it's that clear and simple. He's also raising he just became a dad. He wants to find a neighborhood that it's like, okay, I think I can raise a family here.
Luke Fox of Sportsnet. Do you take issue with that, Luke? Like, we don't want to live anybody's life, but when I hear players go, I just don't, I just want to play hockey where nobody knows who I am. I'm like, really? Like, don't. He was part of something that could have been real special in Toronto. That's what baffles me, that he has no interest, or it seems like he's got no interest in staying with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I think it's different though, Jimmy. Yeah. I think, like, no, look, sorry, it like they get death threats, don't they, Luke? Like their family.
They have got. I don't know for sure death threats, but they have gotten some nasty stuff on social media, for sure. And that happens elsewhere. Like, you know, that happened to Stuart Skinner in Edmonton last year. You know, a couple, but you don't know how serious they are. But people, you know, under the cloak of anonymity on social media, they feel comfortable saying anything. And it affects some families more, or some players more, than it does others. Some guys are able to brush it off and move on. I don't think Marner's trying to be anonymous. If he was trying to be anonymous, he wouldn't do all these commercials that he does. I think he does like a little bit of public love, right? I don't think he's going to try and be hidden. I just think the relationship between him and this city, or a segment of this city in Toronto, has fractured to the point where I think it would benefit both sides to start fresh. And that doesn't even necessarily mean Leafs are going to be better off without him. I think they're going to have a hard time replacing a 100-point guy who plays smart defense and gets them into the playoffs every single season. It's going to be a real challenge here. But, you know, the relationship is just too fractured. There's sore feelings on both sides. He feels a little hard done by, or that's the sense. And, you know, I don't think it's the worst thing. And I actually think, you know, we could see a renewed Mitch Marner that even sets another career high in points and really thrives with just sometimes we all need a clean start, a new job, you know? And I think he's reached that point.
That is Luke Fox, Leafs insider. Coming up with Luke, we're talking about other priorities for the Toronto Maple Leafs as they near free agent frenzy next week. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone as we continue our conversation with Leafs offseason priorities with Luke Fox of Sportsnet.
Luke, out of the list of UFAs, who do you think is the best fit for the Leafs? I mean, taking into consideration that anybody who ends up with any cachet, Leaf fans are like, that's a perfect fit for Toronto. Who do you think is a good fit?
I think Sam Bennett would be awesome. It doesn't sound like he's going to leave.
No.
You know, he's out partying in South Florida saying that he's staying. He's not leaving. You know, I don't know how many cocktails he had before he announced that. So the sense is he's going to re-sign in Florida and doesn't want to, you know, come to Toronto. But on paper, right now, he's a pending UFA. The Leafs need centerman. I think he'd be a fantastic fit. Brad Treliving is also trying to change the DNA of this team. And bringing in a guy like Brad Marchand, I don't know if there's a single guy available that could change your DNA more than him. You know, he's very loud, very impactful, both on and off the ice. He would really shake up that room. He just proved in the Panthers' run to the Cup that he still has some juice in those 37-year-old legs, you know, can still produce. And the Leafs' left side is a wasteland once you get beyond Matthew Nyes, who also needs a new contract. They need left wingers, and they need a fresh personality to jolt that room. He'd be a perfect fit. I know they have strong interest in him. But much like Bennett, Marchand might just stay. He loves it there. So it sounds like the guys, if they are going to stay in Florida, they'll probably take a little bit less. If they come to Toronto or elsewhere, that number goes up.
I want Brad to go to Toronto
so bad.
That
would be hard, Luke.
Imagine.
That would be hard to watch.
I want that to happen. Why is that so hard to watch?
That would be like just... That would be hard to look at.
Wait a second.
With all the history between Boston and Toronto in those playoffs, to have Brad Marchand in a Leafs jersey,
Luke, am I wrong? Would Leaf fans actually like jump up and down going, yes, this is how you change the DNA? Or are they, you know, grin and bear it a little bit?
Ask Panthers fans. Them and the Bruins were bitter rivals. They jumped on board Brad Marchand like full bore. And I could see Leaf fans doing the same thing. He's a charismatic guy. He's a winner. He's a Team Canada guy. So the Leaf fans already got a little taste of cheering for him at the World Cup and at Four Nations. He grew up a Leafs fan. I think they'd get on board. I think the fan base is at a point where they're so desperate for something different.
Try anything.
Something new. That he would win. I think he would win fans over. I really do. I know it'd be funny because he's actually been on five different teams that eliminated the Leafs in the playoffs. And it's kind of like, if we can't beat him, maybe he'll join us. They want him.
Okay, real quick before Locker has another music trivia question for you, Luke Fox. Tavares and Knies, you mentioned Knies, those two contracts in the priority list for the Leafs this offseason. I imagine Knies is ahead of Tavares, but what do you think the future of those two are in Toronto?
Well, Tavares is ahead of Knies, actually, and that's only because the deadline is a week from today in terms of becoming an unrestricted free agent. So the Knies thing, they can afford to let linger a little bit at least because he's a restricted free agent. But I guess in terms of who they definitely want to keep and are willing to pay more for, that for sure would be Knies. It's really fascinating on the Tavares front because at the end of the season, Tavares said he was very optimistic that they'd work something out. The Leafs seemed keen and they definitely need centerman. I think even if they bring Tavares back, they probably should go out and get another centerman. Like their center depth is really suspect beyond Matthews right now. But right now there seems to be a gap. How much of that is posturing from the two sides? The Leafs starting with a low ball offer, but maybe that's not their real final offer. The agent coming in high, but really he's probably willing to go a bit lower. Like how much of this is gamesmanship because there's still 7 days to play with, and how much of this is actually breeding hard feelings? I would point you towards Steven Stamkos in Tampa exactly 1 year ago. He wanted to stay. They wanted to keep him, but only to a point, only at for so much. And it feels like we're heading that way with Tavares and the Leafs. If he's willing to take a significant discount, he for sure can stay. If his pride gets insulted by how low the Leafs are coming in, there's a bunch of other teams that would give him a nice payday. Maybe it starts with a 7. The Leafs aren't going that high.
All right, Luke Fox, you are also a music aficionado. And you've written a book, right?
Yeah, Ice-T Shot Me in the Face and 11 Other Stories About Rap Music.
Okay, so here's your song, here's your lyric. I know sometimes things might not always make sense to you right now, but hey, what daddy always tell you, straighten up, little soldier, stiffen up that upper lip, what you crying about, you got me.
Eminem.
You got it.
Yeah.
Mockingbird.
He's talking to Haley.
There you go.
I was like, is that William Nylander to Mitch Marner? Sorry.
Savage.
Wow. That was
unfair. But
it kind of works, though.
It a little bit.
Kind of works, Jamie Nye.
Well, it was on the bench. Stop crying. This isn't Junior. I'll never forget it. Luke, we'll leave it there. Enjoy the week of speculation, rumor, and otherwise heading into free agency.
Yeah, going to be a ton of news this week. Fun times.
That is Luke Fox of Sportsnet. Are you going to go get his book? His rap book? It might be an interesting read. From Luke Fox. But of course, you'll be reading sportsnet.ca when the news drops. Are you still having him going to Utah, Mitch Marner?
Yep.
Might be Vegas. Might be Vegas. Better than all the rest. Better than anyone. Tammy and Locker with you on this Wednesday afternoon as last day of school for many around Saskatchewan. Some already off, some tomorrow. Graduations, convocations going on around Saskatchewan as we begin summer. And we're also beginning summer, of course, with already summer weather. Tornado watches, tornado and severe thunderstorm watches in effect. No warnings yet, just watches for this afternoon. As always, we'll keep you up to date. If there's severe weather that you're witnessing, you can text us or send us a photo or a video at 1-877-332-8255. This week, Locker, we've been talking a lot about Don Cherry.
Now, good Canadian boy.
This story continues to be an interesting one. Because on their podcast, Grapevine, his son Tim and Don have been doing this since his departure from Hockey Night in Canada over 6 years ago. And this was the end of the podcast.
Well, Tim, this is our last show.
Yep. How many podcasts have we done?
I don't know.
This is our 313th.
313th.
Yeah, we've been listened to all around the world. It's just amazing how many different countries, you know, people download and listen to it. We've had 6.5 million downloads, which is pretty good. So
how many
6.5 million downloads.
That's an awful lot. Thanks everybody for listening and toodaloo.
So it was labeled on their Twitter account, Don Cherry says goodbye in final podcast. Joe Warmington of the Toronto Sun did a story talking to Don and said, I plan on being back next season. Tim, his son Tim has said this to the Canadian press. He does not foresee any new episodes with Don Cherry in Grapevine.
And read into that what you will.
And Don's health has been on the decline a little bit in the last couple
He's
of
91.
Months and years. 91 years
91.
Old. But Tim says, unless, you know, McDavid gets traded to Toronto in the next few months or something, Don might want to do a emergency pod or something like that, but he doesn't foresee a new season coming of Grapevine. But it's gotten to the conversation of where Don Cherry sits.
His legacy.
And it was Terry who called up yesterday and said, Jamie, I want to play your game. You like playing the Mount Rushmore game. Don Cherry belongs on the Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters. And I love a good Mount Rushmore debate. Who would you put on the Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters? And I know Don Cherry wasn't a play-by-play guy or a color analyst. I think he tried color early on in his career. But we're including Don in the hockey broadcaster category. He was on Hockey Night in Canada for pretty well 40 years. Coach's Corner, 1-877-332-8255.
Who? You can get stuck on the guys that called the game, right? That's a tough. So, well, we're being a little flexible here.
Yeah, who are your favorite hockey commentators, broadcasters? And yes, Drew Remenda is eligible, Bill, on the text line if you want to put Bill on, or Drew on the Mount Rushmore. 1-877-332-8255. Chad, who's on your Mount Rushmore list for hockey broadcasters / commentators?
Well, I agree with the guy yesterday, Don Cherry, for sure. There's whatever, agree, like, dislike, he's controversial, but there simply isn't a person in his span on TV that was more influential in hockey in Canada, period. Like, nobody was influenced hockey more than him. Everybody, every Canadian that grew up playing and watching followed Don's way. Mm-hmm. So, easy.
Who else?
Bob Cole, too, grew up listening to him. And then, you know, we watched lots of games on the old Pirate satellite dishes. So, Mike Lang.
Mike Lang, scratch my back with a hacksaw. Slap me, silly Sydney. The Mike Lang calls of the Pittsburgh Penguins, yeah. Absolutely.
And they had some great people to commentate. Like, obviously, everybody knows because they get to, like, do the Mary Lemieux and Liger and all them. And last, my other favorites were Rick Jeanneret.
Oh, Rick Jeanneret. I played his call yesterday on the show for the Alexander McGillney Hall of Fame call. One of the famous for Rick Jeanneret was the La 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 Fontaine. And then the Mayday, Mayday, Mayday goal from the Buffalo Sabres. Those are some legends, Chad. Absolutely. I like the two little nods to the local guys in Buffalo and Pittsburgh, Mike Lang, Rick Jeanneret, Bob Cole, Don Cherry. That's what would make Chad's Mount Rushmore. Of course, you have the four heads up there. Who's on it? 1-877-332-8255.
Dan, Swift Currents, got Don Cherry and Bob Cole, like Chad. Danny Gallivan.
Gallivan, yeah, and, Danny Gallivan.
And I think most lists need to include Foster Hewitt. Just, I mean, it's not a voice a lot of us are familiar with, just based on, but I mean, the start of Hockey Night in Canada had his voice on it. He's kind of the pioneer, right? He shoots. He scores.
Henderson makes a wild stab, Fortin fell. And that's Foster Hewitt from the 72 Summit Series. So Foster Hewitt, Danny Gallivan, who was the voice of the Montreal Canadiens on Hockey Night in Canada from the 50s on through the early 80s, was put in the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1984 for the Foster Hewitt Award. That is the award for the broadcasters, by the way, for the Hall of Fame. 1-877-332-8255. I don't know. I'm having a hard time with this one.
I got mine.
Because Bob Cole,
yeah,
I grew up with Bob Cole and Harry Neal, right? Those were the guys. Bob Cole and Harry Neal. Bob Cole, Harry Neal. But then you go into something like, I worked with Rod Phillips, the Edmonton Oilers radio guy. And
he was a legend.
Oh, he's a legend.
We can make room for Rod.
Jim Robson, the Vancouver Canucks play-by-play guy. He also did Hockey Night in Canada. His legendary call, Game 6, Stanley Cup Final, 1994. I'll never forget it. When Trevor Linden got hit late in the game, and he kind of is like, oh, will Trevor Linden play? Of course he'll play. He'll play on crutches. He'll play at Madison Square Garden on Tuesday night. Like, Jim Robson's on. Howie Meeker.
I got Howie Meeker on mine.
1-877-332-8255. Steve, what's or who is on your Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters?
Guy named of Mike Emmerich.
Mike Emmerich.
Gary Thorne. You probably don't know who he is, but
he was an old ESPN.
As much as I hate to say it, because I'm a Bruins fan, Dick Irvin Jr. and Danny Gallivan. Danny Gallivan's probably one of the best, often imitated but never duplicated. And for other people that, so they don't cry out there, I guess, Bob, Harry Neal, absolutely not. But Dave Hodge, he had a pen in his hand, so that kind of was his downfall. But
what was it? They cut away to a movie or something like that?
No, what happened was, They were supposed to go, they finished their one game, and then they were supposed to go to the Flyers and the Canadiens, and they kiboshed that, and he goes, I'm not the guy, because he promised everybody they'd go to the Canadiens and the Flyers game, and then he threw up his pen, and he goes, I don't know who makes the decisions around here, and then after that, he was gone.
That cost him quite a few years.
Yeah, and then, well, TSN picked him up, of course. Steve, that's more than four, but Steve's bringing it. He's got a Doc Emmerich, Grapes, Dave Hodge. That was a big no to Harry Neal, apparently, on that one. All right, 1-877-332-8255. Who would be on the Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters / commentators?
Did you guys get a lot of Doc games here?
Doc Emmerich was the he was video games too, right? He did a lot of the NHL video games, but also,
because I don't remember Doc. Doc wasn't on my radar.
He was American broadcaster. It depended how deep you went, and you didn't play the NHL video games, so you wouldn't know that voice.
No, I never played any of the games.
I definitely did.
Is Chris Cuthbert on anybody's list? I got Chris on. I've always enjoyed
his. You have his Chris on your list.
I have Chris. I had a hard time with that last spot because I put Foster on because I'm like, you got to put.
He's the OG, right?
Yeah, you got to put him on there. He's the reason why the award. Like, and then I put Bob Cole. I love Bob Cole and Harry Neal. I don't have as much disdain for Harry Neal as a lot of people do. I always liked the idea that I thought he might be a little drunk on the air. Like,
watch the lawsuit, Ty. Watch the lawsuit. And his other one was the Deke with Yager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and, but I've always appreciated Cuthbert's calls. I like the fact that they got him back doing hockey. And then Howie Meeker, he was a character. He was a character.
1-877.
Don Cherry, I got an honorable mention. Ron McClain. I'm putting Ron in there. I don't care. I have had this conversation before with many, many people. Ron tried to get Don to apologize and he wouldn't. And listen, I'm not getting into it.
1-877-332-8255.
How many times did everybody that was my partner on the radio quit? No, they didn't. And I didn't have a problem with it because you got to get paid. You have to get paid. It is your responsibility to get paid. If Jamie gets fired tomorrow, am I going to walk out the door with them?
No, no.
Absolutely
you walk out
not.
The door. I do it for you. I had my fingers crossed behind my back.
Now.
I had my fingers crossed behind my back when I said that, by the way. Everybody knows me. We've already been down that road last week. All right. Dave wants to add another name to the list. Dave, who you got?
Joe Bowen, too. I got Joe
Bowen. Yeah.
I love Joe. I want to drink with him, though.
You guys are hilarious. I agree with pretty well everybody's opinion, but there's one person I just want to point out that nobody's talked about, and I would add Cassie Campbell.
Cassie, because she's newer to the scene, but
she took a lot of heat at the beginning.
But that because she was a woman on Hockey Night in Canada, and everybody was like, "Whoa!" and they lost their mind. But Dave, she was the trendsetter for women's commentators doing hockey on the men's side.
That's why she should be on.
Dave in Kelowna, thanks for the call. 1-877-332-8255. Of course, opens the door
for the Hextall. I don't mind Cassie.
You have Botterill now, who's congratulations to her, went to the Hockey Hall of Fame yesterday.
I'm not a huge fan of Botterill. I find her call is good. Like her analysis is good. And if you actually listen to what she's saying, she has smart things to say. My issue with Jennifer is that I don't think she rolls with stuff too well. That's my. Like, you can't make fun. You can't have fun on the. She sort of kills it every once in a while. It's like, oh, they were trying to make fun. And she just kind of.
Yeah, I don't think her and Kevin really mesh.
I don't think they get along.
I don't know if it's get along, but it's just. Kevin is a hard guy to read if he's actually serious or joking.
Well,
right?
He is very sarcastic, and I think she doesn't read that well. I think that's a really good observation.
I need to get to Lonnie. Lonnie's got a great name. Lonnie, who would you put on the Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters?
Well, I'm a old school Winnipeg Jets fan, and it's got to be Dennis Bayak.
Dennis Bayak, absolutely one of the nice guys in broadcasting. Of course, just retired a couple of months ago. Still calling a little bit of Hockey Canada stuff. Dennis Bayak has a great call, knows hockey. Used to be a front office guy too back in the day. Love that name added to the list. Who would be on your Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters, commentators? Don Cherry's on a lot of lists. Some people don't have him there. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Broadcasters. But real quick weather note, we have our first severe thunderstorm warning now in effect. Extreme south of the province in the Val-Marie area and Orkney. Severe thunderstorm warnings. Popping up now in southern Saskatchewan. But back to the fan line. Rod, who would you put on your Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters?
I think it's got to be Foster Hewitt for the pioneering. Bob Cole's probably the best play-by-play guy ever. And Cherry and Meeker for the way they educated the audience and built the game up. I don't think there's any comparison. I know not everybody likes Howie Meeker, but he could teach you everything you needed to know about the game in a 3-hour span of watching it. So
he could teach you some in 10 seconds, too, working the telescreen.
I think it was his voice that triggered a lot of people, right?
Very recognizable voice.
Yeah, he had a very different voice.
Tom, who would be on your Mount Rushmore of hockey broadcasters?
Well, you know what? I've had some time to think as I was waiting to get on. And here's, I think Ron and Tim are really more like traffic control managers. Tim comes loaded with facts to help direct traffic. Ron just simply knows how to direct people's conversation, and I think he's very good at it. I am curious, though, about Jennifer. I believe Jennifer is exceptional at what she does, and I believe she is going to be the light for the other women to get into the broadcasting field, and therein you may lot get more fun-oriented women involved. But there is one woman that I do not believe will ever go into broadcasting because she has got a career path that is far beyond in terms of filling a need in our province or in Canada. And that is Haley Wickenheiser as a doctor.
Well, Haley Wickenheiser, not only a doctor, she might be a darn general manager soon enough.